Good morning. Today we're going to finish up our talk on Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I've been speaking of that verse here for the last 3 weeks or so. So today I will complete verse 10 and we will move on. But I think that's a very good verse for us to really take into heart and apply into our lives because it speaks about our sanctification. So as I get going here, let me open up this message this morning in prayer. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Amen. So in this verse, Paul has already expressed his desire to grow in four specific areas. Paul wants to grow in the person of Christ. He wants to grow in the power of Christ. He wants to grow in the pain of Christ. And now he wants to grow in the purpose of Christ. So four areas where Paul says, I really want to grow in these four particular areas. To know Christ further now, he wants to know Christ further through the practical experience of being conformed daily to the death of Christ. So we're going to find out what that is all about this morning. So in this fourth and final experience of Paul, we see this transformative change taking place of being moved by something else, by being moved from something else from one place to another place. So we need to understand that Paul is saying, I want to be moved from here to there, not by me, but by someone else. And that is exactly what's happening here in this particular part of this verse, being conformed to his death. So when we look at this phrase right here, when we look at the fourth part of chapter 3, verse 10, where it says, being conformed to his death or becoming like him in his death. So the phrase, being conformed, becoming like him in his death, the Greek word is simorphizo, which means to receive the same form. So Paul, in a sense, is saying, I want to receive the same form that Christ has in his death. What Christ is, I also want to be. I want his death to shape and orient my life. That is exactly what Paul is getting after here. He wants to be just like Christ, even in his death. So we look at the verse right here, becoming like him in his death. So that phrase right there is given in the present tense, which means it's an ongoing process. It's going to happen for the rest of Paul's life. And if we're believers, we should understand that this same process is going to happen in our lives continually until the final day when Christ comes. But this idea of becoming like Christ in his death, being conformed to his death, will be an ongoing process. That's what Paul has in mind. It's given in the present tense. So we should know that this is a continual process. And then it's given in what's called the passive voice. Oh, what does that mean? It means that this work is not being done by Paul. It's being done by an outside influence. In other words, being conformed is being done by God. It is God who is doing the conforming, not Paul. Paul says this will be carried out continually, and it's going to be carried out continually by God. So this is God. God is the agent who is doing this work. All we need to do is look back in chapter 1 where Paul says, for it is God who has begun a good work in me. So this idea of becoming like Christ in his death is part of God working in us, having begun that good work in us. So we understand that now. It is an ongoing process that God is and has initiated and will continue to do until the final day. So, what does Paul mean when he says, being conformed to his death? Because that's the first point we should know. Being conformed to his death. What does that mean? What is Paul getting after when he says that? Well, Paul, we know this about Paul. He is prepared to obediently lay down his life for the great cause of Christ. We know that. He's in Rome, and in Rome he knows this could be it for me. If it's it for me right here in Rome, if Nero has his way and I'm put to death, that's okay, Paul says. I am ready. I am ready to go to the end for the cause of Christ. That's okay. So we know that Paul is ready. He's prepared to go all the way to the end. He has this mental readiness that we also should have to just go all the way for Christ. that we should one day maybe be called to even die for Christ. Paul says, I'm there now. I'm ready. But Paul means this here. He means specifically that he is ready to die to sin. He is ready to die to sin, and he is ready to die to self through the cross of Christ. I'm ready to die to sin. I'm ready to die to self for the cause of Christ and through the Christ, and through the cross, rather. He's ready to go to the end. That's what he means when he says, you must deny self and pick up your cross. Those are the words of Christ. You must deny yourself and pick up your cross. Here's the thing. When Jesus said, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, when we read into that verse, we know this, that he's saying, you must be willing. You must be willing of your own volition to participate in your own death and the death of yourself. Not your wife, not your husband, not your friends, not the elders, not the pastor. No, but you. You must be willing to participate in the death of self. You. That cross is yours. So that's the whole point Paul's getting after. You must be willing to do that. Well, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to participate in the self, in the death of self, yourself? Because that's what Jesus says. If you want to follow me, you must be willing to participate in the death of self by putting self on the cross every single day. And Paul, he was ready. He was ready to deny himself and put himself on the cross every single day. Well, how do we know that? Because he denied all those privileges already. Earlier in chapter 3, he said this. He was ready to forego all those privileges. His heritage, his priesthood, his birthright, everything. He says, I left it all behind. I have left it all behind. I denied myself all those things. Death to self. Paul was already there. He says, I'm ready to do that. Leave it all behind. Put it on the cross for the great cause of Christ. In other words, he had no more agenda. His only agenda was the agenda of Christ and doing what Christ was willing for him to do. That is it. No more agendas, no more self. No, it's all about Christ. It's all about God. It's all about that divine agenda. What does God have in store for me? So yes, Paul, he did exactly what Christ was instructing him to do. If you want to follow me, Paul, deny yourself, pick up your cross. And he already told us in chapter 3 that he did just that. Denied himself many things, many luxuries, many privileges. He left them all behind for the great cause of Christ. So, this is us participating willingly in what? In the death of self. That's what Paul is getting at. When he says being conformed to his death, are we willing to go to that extent? To leave our agendas behind and just go seek the agenda of God. And says, that agenda, that's my agenda. That's what I want to do, what God wills for me to do. That is it. So, when we trust in Christ, we are placed in Christ. Can you go to Romans chapter 6, verse 5? Death. Death to self, because Paul says, being conformed to his death. So keeping that in mind, being conformed to his death. In Romans 6, 5, it says this, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. But it's the very first part of that statement that I want to look at. If we have been united with him like this in his death. That's the point right there. What happened at Calvary, what happened at Calvary to Christ happened to us as well. How do I know? Because we are in Christ. We are in Christ. And if we are in Christ, God has deemed it. God himself has declared it, that what happened to my son in Calvary, in Golgotha, when he was crucified, because you are in union with my son, Jesus Christ. You are in union with him. What happened to him also happened to you. You too, when Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago, God has declared you too died there 2,000 years ago. So positionally, we look at that verse that we have been united with Christ. We have been united with him in his death. That right there, positionally, God has said, it has happened. You are in union with him because he died on the cross. You too died. So can we be conformed to his death? Yes, God says, I have conformed you, in a sense, to his death. Positionally, we know this, positionally, we have been conformed to his death. But now comes the practicality, because we need to take this, this position. We know, because the Bible tells us, God tells us, he himself has deemed us that we have died with Christ on the cross. But now, Paul says, we need to take this position of us that we have died with him on the cross and make it our reality here on earth. Begin to die to self here on earth. Make what is our position in heaven a practical reality here on earth. Again, remember earlier in Philippians when Paul says, begin to work out your salvation. So if we know that we have died with Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago, that is our position. God has declared it. He said that you did. Well, then now here on earth, begin to work it out. Begin to be conformed to his death. Begin to put self to death on the cross. Begin to work it out now. Live it out. Make it a reality. That is what Paul has been doing all his life. And we too are called to do the very same thing. To do the very same thing. What is true of us positionally must be true of us experientially. If it's true in heaven, it must be true here. It must be our experience now. We need to live it out, work it out in our daily living. So that's how it begins. We couldn't do it before, we can do it now. Why? Because we are in union with Christ. That's why. We have a special union with Christ. And we should know that if we're Christians, if you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, this I know, that I have a very special union with Christ. Well, who established this union with Christ? Who was it? Well, it was God himself. Can you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30? It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Again, let me look at the verse, the first part of that verse. It is because of him. Of who? Of God. It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus. This right here, the fact that I am in Christ, that I have this special union with Christ, it is the gift of God by grace. By grace, God has given me this gift of taking my life and now placing my life in Christ so that I have union with him. Again, this is a wonderful gift of God. Previously, I was in Adam. But remember what Paul says? You were being conformed to death. No, I was in Adam. God took me out of Adam and he put me in Christ. How? Because of my trust in Christ, my belief, my faith in him. He has moved me from one position to the other, from one domain to a new kingdom, from darkness to light. He has done this. It is a gift of God. He is the one who put me in Christ. He is the one who established my union with Christ. He has done it all. God our Father has done it all. So, because God has done this, because God himself has done this, it is proper. Because he has done this himself, God, well then it is proper for God to now tell us that Christ's death is your death. Because why? Because it was God himself who put me in union with his son. Because I know this, and because the Bible tells me this, then I know, yes, if Christ died 2,000 years ago, and God himself gave me the gift of being in union with Christ, then God himself tells me that I have died with Christ, then I totally, absolutely believe him. I believe him. That what he said is true. That if Christ died on the cross, then I died there with him. You died there with him. Why? Because it was God's doing. He has declared it. He has deemed it so. This is what God has done. And God, and Christ here, who has become for us wisdom from God. Jesus Christ, in his humanity, he came down. And what did Jesus do? When Jesus came down, in his humanity, God says, look at my son. There, right there, in his humanity is my wisdom. Jesus, the living wisdom of God, He is the living righteousness, the living holiness, and the living redemption. He is all those things. And I am in union with him in his humanity and in his divinity. I am in perfect union with Christ. That is the only way, the only reason that God himself could justify me, declare me not guilty, justified forevermore. It's done. You are completely righteous. Why? Because God has put me in union with Christ. That is the only reason he can now accept me. That is the only reason why I can come with all boldness, with courage, through the throne of grace and obtain mercy and grace to help me in the time of need. Why? Because I am in Christ and I have all the righteousness I need because I have the entire righteousness of Christ in me. Everything. And he is everything to me. He should be everything to you, everything to the church. Our wisdom, our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption are all in all. We have it all in Christ. We have it all in Christ. So, this is it. Because this is how it all begins as we move toward the ultimate design. We know what the ultimate design is, right? Because Paul says, being conformed to his death. Well, there is an ultimate design that God has in mind. And the ultimate design is in Romans 8, verse 29, when he says, we will be conformed to the image of his son. That is the ultimate goal right there. That's the end goal. That one day we will be absolutely conformed to the image of Christ. But Paul says, here it is. Here's where it begins. It begins right here, being conformed to his death. That's the starting point. That's part of our sanctification. You can't navigate around it. You can't circumvent it. Paul says, no, you go through the cross. You go through the cross. You live under the cross. You always have the cross with you. You're always bearing that cross. You're always dying to self. Always. That's how it begins for us to get from the cross to the crown. Always. So don't try to escape it. This is it, Paul says. If you want the crown, go through the cross. Carry your cross. Die to self. We must do all these things. We want to be conformed to the death of Christ. It was Paul's desire, and it should be our desire to do the same thing in our daily living. So, when you look at this verse, being conformed to his death, the focus is not on death as of dying on a cross in the way that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Christ atoned for our sins. Paul's not saying that we're going to go on the cross and atone for anyone's sins. That's not what Paul is getting after. Not at all. What Paul, his wholehearted desire is just to die to the world of sin, to die to the world of flesh, to die to self, to die to all those things that keep him from Christ. That is his goal. That is his motivation. I just want to go and I want to die to this world that's filled with sin, with temptations, with enticements, with seducements. I want to die to all that. I want to die to the flesh that desires all these things. Paul says, I want to put them all to death. Put to death all these deeds. That's what Paul is after. He says, I want to be conformed to his death. Totally conformed. And his point, do you want to take the death of Christ and make it the pattern of your life? Because that's what Paul is saying. Paul says, I want to take the pattern of his death and make it the pattern of my life. Make it the template. I want to take his death and I want to take his death and that death of his will shape my life. Here's the point. As Christians, do we want to take the death of Christ and have it shape our lives? Have it be our design, our template, our organization. Is that what we want? Because that is what Paul wanted. And I'm here to tell you, many Christians don't want that. No, I'll go a certain distance to be with Christ, but to give it all up? No, no. To die to certain things? No, no. I want God's agenda, absolutely, but I want my agenda too. I want both agendas. I want God's agenda. I want to do what he wants me to do, but then, you know, I kind of want my agenda too. I want to do the things that I really want to do. And Paul says, no. No. He said no to his personal agenda. For him, it was Christ and Christ crucified. Does that mean that we don't get nothing? No. We get more life in Christ than we would out of Christ. We get more in Christ than we would being in Adam. We get life, an abundant life, by being and walking with Christ. We don't get that in Adam. And we think we do, but we really don't. See, Paul understood that. He was gaining more from walking with Christ than what he was gaining when he was walking as a Pharisee. He said, this is life. Jesus looked at the disciples when everybody started to abandon him, and he looked at his 12, his disciples, and he looked at them and he says, will you two abandon me now? Will you two leave me? And Peter said, no, no. You have the words of eternal life. Where else would we go? See, Paul was like that. Where else will I go? Whose agenda is better than God's agenda? No. You have the words of eternal life. Why would I go elsewhere? Why would I follow some other religion, some other practice? No. Paul, he's given everything up for Christ. Can you go to Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2? Because what shall we say? What shall we say if Paul says, do you want to take the cross of Christ, the death of Christ, and make it your template? Here in Romans, we know there's the issue of antinomianism. Antinomianism, that's what Paul was combating here in Romans. Some in Rome were saying that, you know, we're Christians, and because we have so much grace from God, we can actually forget the Mosaic law. Let's forget the Mosaic law. Let's not even try to keep the law. If we break the law, if we sin, it's okay, because God's grace is abundant. God's grace will cover every sin. The more we sin, the more grace we get. That's the spirit of antinomianism. That's what Paul was talking about here. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means, he says. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Here's a point where Paul says, being conformed to his death. Can we actually be conformed to his death? Paul says, yes. We died to sin. So if we die to sin, did you die to sin? Well, yes, go back to Romans when Paul says that God has deemed us to have died with Christ on the cross. When Christ died on the cross, he put an end to sin. Power of sin was lost. Remember, our position in Christ, we died with Christ. And when we died with Christ, the power of sin in our lives was broken. It was broken. It was done. Jesus Christ, he dealt with that. And if we believe truly that positionally we were crucified with Christ and we died with Christ, then we should know this. That when Paul says, we die to sin. When did you die to sin? You died to sin 2,000 years ago on the cross because God the Father said so. He said, you died. I put you in union with my son. It's done. Positionally, you are dead to sin. Now go work it out. So yes, Paul isn't lying when he says, we die to sin. And if we die to sin, how can we live any longer for sin? How can we? How is that even possible? It has no power over you unless you give it power. But Paul says, you died to sin. Don't sin. Stop sinning. Don't do it no more. The flesh wants to. I know that. But Paul says, don't. Don't give the devil a foothold. Don't. We have a new life in Christ. So that is the whole point that Paul is getting after. And here's the test. Here's the test for us. Do we truly want to be conformed to his death? Because some do, some don't. But do you, do I truly want to be conformed to his death? Again, I'm not talking necessarily about experiencing death on a cross in the way that Jesus did. I'm not talking about that. But do you want a crucified life with Christ? Do you want to live in that way? In other words, a life of continually putting the sinful deeds of the flesh to death. Do you want to do that? Because that's what Paul is saying. I want to put an end to the deeds of the flesh, to all the desires of sin. I want to put them all to death. Now he's asking, do you want to do that? Do you want to be conformed to the death of Christ Jesus? Because this is how you do it. You begin to take the flesh and its deeds, its desires, its temptations. You're just going to put them all to death on the cross because you're denying yourself. And that cross you carry, it's not you so you can put someone else on it. No, it's so you can put your own flesh on it. Do you want to do that? Continually doing that, of making a decisive and continual break with sin. Continually break away with sin every day. I'm going to make it my duty, my job, my goal to just break away from sin, break away from the world, break away from all the enticements of the devil, from listening to the flesh, I'm just going to break away from it completely. Paul says, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to conform my life to the death of Christ. I'm going to bring it into that equivalency. What Christ is, I will become. I want his death to shape my life, to direct my life. And that's the whole point here. The whole point. The death of cross, the death of Christ on the cross was a final death blow to sin. A final death blow. God dealt with it once and for all right on the cross. Can you go to Romans chapter 6, verse 10, please? Chapter 6, verse 10. Right here. The death he died, the death that Jesus died, the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. Okay, right there on the cross, the fatal, final death blow. Sin, done. Power of sin, gone. Remember those words in Corinthians? Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For the power of death is what? Is sin. And the power of sin is the law. It says, where is it? Where is your power? It's gone. It's no more there. Christ dealt with it. When Christ died, Christ arose, it was over. It's done. So yes, Christ's death was a death unto sin. Once and for all, put it to death. And Paul says, now you too can put it to death because sin has no power over you. You died in Christ. Christ died, you died with him. He died to sin, you died to sin once and for all too. God has declared it. And the life he lives to God. Christ is risen. He lives again. And here's a point that Paul makes in Romans. He said, Christ's continued purpose. What's Christ now? Now that he lives, what's Christ's purpose now? Is to live and to keep living. Live as God and to live for the glory of God the Father. That is his purpose. So what's my purpose? To do the same thing. Our new lives in Christ. To do what? To live and to live for the glory of God. As Christ lives, so will I. He lives, he continues to live as God and for the glory of God. Then me too, you too, the church too, should live and continue living for God and for the glory of God. What Jesus is, where he's going, what he did, so will we. What he has become, we too shall become. Because he lives in this manner, so should we. Paul says, but the life he lives to God. The life we live in Christ, because we were resurrected with him, we also should live for God. No difference. What is the agenda of Christ here? Does Jesus have his own agenda? Does he say, well, I'm going to really do this? No, no, here's the agenda of Jesus. My agenda would say, Jesus, is to live and to live for God. So then what should my agenda be? Well, my agenda should be to live and to live for God. What was Paul's agenda? To live and to live for God. See, I left it all behind. To do what? To live and to live for Christ. To live, he said, is Christ. And to die is gain. That was Paul's agenda. He had no other agenda. Jesus, he has no other agenda but to live for God as God, for the glory of God. So what is our agenda? Do you have something else in mind besides being conformed to the death of Christ? Do you have a different agenda, a different way, a different pattern? Do you have something else to do? No, no. And then one would say, well, then how? How do we put the misdeeds of the body to death? How do we put the body to death, the flesh? Here is the point. You can't be conformed to his death by your own sheer power. You can't do that, can you? Paul says, being conformed to his death. Your own sheer effort, your determination, your own resolve. It's not going to allow you to do that. Your own power, no. The flesh is too weak. Sin is too strong. You can't. Well, then how can you overcome it by human efforts? How? By your own moral strength? No, you just can't. In our own humanity, we cannot do that. So then how do we? Because Paul already told us, Paul, can you overcome the flesh by your own sheer authority? Well, if you read chapter 3 again, you'll find out that Paul says no. Paul already says, no, I told you, put no confidence in the flesh. Remember, he said, put no confidence in the flesh. He said, three things that make a Christian. Paul says, those who are of the true circumcision will do this. He says, they will worship in the Spirit, they will rejoice in Christ, and they will do this, and they will put no confidence in the flesh. So Paul says, put no confidence in the flesh. The flesh will not help you being conformed to the death of Christ. Will not help you at all. Has no power whatsoever. Not only does it have no power, it doesn't want to. It doesn't want to be conformed to anyone's death. The flesh has its own agenda to do what the flesh wants to do, not what the Spirit wants it to do. No. That's why the flesh and the Spirit always struggle. The Spirit has the agenda, live for Christ, and the flesh has the agenda, live for self. And there is a fight that we encounter every single day. Two different agendas competing. Which one will you carry out? What agenda do you have? Now, so here's, how do we put the misdeeds of the body to death? Here's really the right way. You turn to the Scriptures. You turn to the Scriptures. Remember the very beginning what Paul says? I want to know Christ and to know him even better. It begins right there. And the only way to really begin to understand how to conform ourselves to the death of Christ is to do this, to know him intimately, personally, lovingly, to have true, genuine fellowship with him, to know him. How can we know him? Because we're trained to the Scriptures more and more and more every day. You turn to the Scriptures. That is the only way. The flesh won't help you, but the Scriptures can. Why? Why do we turn to the Scriptures? Here's the thing. There are many human sources out there that can help you. There are many books, many people, godly friends, godly pastors, godly elders and deacons, many people that can help you. But here's the thing about the Scripture. The Scriptures, what you get from the Scriptures, are words directly from the mouth of God himself. These are words from the mouth of God himself. It is God declaring. So the Scriptures, knowing the Scriptures, knowing Christ, that would help me conform self to the death of Christ. The Scriptures. Well, why the Scriptures? Oh, here's the thing. Because the Scriptures carry the authority of God. That's number one. The Scriptures carry the authority of God. What else in this world, who else in this world carries such authority? Nobody. Only the Scriptures carry the authority of God. So if I want to put the deeds of the flesh to death, I know this. I'm going to get the authority from the Word of God, from the mouth of God himself. He carries that authority over me, over the flesh, over sin, over everything. He is the number one source of authority. That's reason number one. That's why I'm going to turn to the Scriptures. What's the second point? Why would you turn to the Scriptures again? For this reason, because the Scriptures not only carry the authority of God, they carry the promise of God that he will do it. Not only will I tell you that you can do it, but I promise you, you will, because I will be in you. I will operate in you. You will execute my will because I will be in you executing the will. He gives me his authority. He gives me a promise. No one else does that. No one else can do that. Only God. The authority of the Scriptures and the promise of the Scriptures. So when I go to the Scriptures, I know that. If I'm going to conform my life to his death, to the Lord's death, I need to start in the Scriptures. That's where it begins. It begins right there in the Scriptures. There are many passages in the Scriptures that help us with this. Many passages that guide us in this direction. Can you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 13? And here's a promise again. Authority speaking. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. Now, understand, this first part right here, Paul is in sense, he's speaking to unbelievers. He's speaking about eternal death. You will lose your soul completely. The first death, the second death, you're done. If you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. That is a promise. That is authority speaking, and that is a promise from God. If you put to death the misdeeds of the body by the Spirit, you will live. Again, you see there, right there, the authority of God and the promise of God. Who else can speak with such authority and give you such a promise? Walk by the Spirit, God says. Remember in Galatians what Paul says? He says, walk by the Spirit and you shall not obey the desires of the flesh. He said that. Walk by the Spirit, because it is the Spirit and the flesh who are continually at work. He says, walk by the Spirit. That is the authority of God speaking, and you shall not obey the desires of the flesh. That is a promise, but you need to walk by the Spirit. And here, in Romans 8:13, he's saying the very same thing. By the Spirit, by the power of God. What power is that? It's called resurrection power. No, I want to know Christ, and I want to know the power of his resurrection. It is the power of Christ, the power that resurrected him, that helps us to overcome the flesh. It is his power that enables us to have the victory. Nothing else. Nothing else. Can you go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 5? Again, another one for us to study real fast. Put to death, again, mortify. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Put him to death. Everything on the outside, all these worldly desires, all these enticements, all these temptations, Paul says, put them to death. Can you? Yes. Why? We'll go back to what Paul said again. Resurrection power. It's not you. You can't do it. Christ in you, his resurrection power, can. Believe in him. Trust him. Obey him. Put to death all these things. Give him no room whatsoever. Now, because for the sake of time, I have many other scriptures that you can turn to that will show you how to do this, how to combat the flesh. Many of them. But we need to turn to the scriptures in order to understand what Paul is getting after. So when we look at conforming to his death, because dying with Christ, that was a present reality for Paul. That is what he wanted to do every single day, die for Christ. Just die. Just continue to die for Christ so that you become more and more like him. Because that's the end goal. The more we die to self, the more we increase in Christ. The more of him in us and the less of self in us. Because we don't want bad in us. Because when I look at self, when I look at myself, I see badness. When I see Christ, I see goodness. So who do I want in me? Me? The flesh? No. Why? I just got too much sin in my life. Too much sin pollution. I'm just inundated with it. I want to get it out of my life. And the only way to get it out of my life is to get more of Christ in me. Get him in me, because I want to increase in Christ and decrease in me. And that's what Paul is saying. That's what he's been doing all his life. He's dying to Christ and increasing in Christ at the same time. Increasing at the same time. So our sins have been imputed to Christ on the cross. All of our sins. Past, present, future, every sin imputed to Christ right there on the cross. And now, we who are being made into his nature, we should be doing the same thing. We should be putting all those sins to death. Positionally, it is being done. Practically, we need to continue to do it. Put self to death. Put them all to death. Well, how far? As far away from you as possible. Just take sin and just separate it from you. Create a big distance between you and sin so that it's no longer even close to you. It can touch you. It will have no power over you. There's this verse in the psalm that is really, really good. He says, for as far as east is from the west, as far as east is from the west, so has God forgiven your sins. That is the kind of distance we want to create now. Positionally, I know this, that God has taken all my sins and throw them all the way east. They're done. Can't even see them. as far as the east is from our west. Positionally, that has happened. Now, practically, I need to begin to do the same thing. Take all my sins and cast them as far east as I possibly can. What God the Father did, I need to start doing in my life. Take him and just cast them as far as possible so that they never touch me nor see me again. Create this great distance with my sin, with my flesh. Put it out. Cast it away. As far as the east is from the west, do the same thing. Do the same thing with your life. That's what we're called to do. Finally, as I bring it to closure, the experience of being conformed to the death of Christ. Here's the thing. This experience of being conformed to the death of Christ, which is also working out in us, and will ultimately bring us to an end. What is this one thing? It's called faith. Faith working in us richly. Because apart from faith, we can't do any of this. By faith, I know that what God said about me 2,000 years ago, that I died with Christ, I believe that by faith. I trust him. Because if I have no faith in God, none of this works. I can turn to the scriptures and I can have all kinds of knowledge about the scriptures. I can have all kinds of knowledge about Christ, but I have no faith in him, none of this works. By faith, turn to the scriptures, trust the scriptures, it's the authority of God, it's got the promise of God, believe it by faith. Believe it. And then you go out there and you live it. Deny self, pick up your cross, follow Christ by faith. Because we are called to do just that. The sons and daughters of God will live by faith. We shall live by faith. There's no other way to live than by faith. We must have that faith. So finally, Paul mentioned four experiences as I close it now. Four experiences that are meant for Paul. These experiences are meant for us too. Knowing Christ, knowing the power of his resurrection, knowing the fellowship of his sufferings, and being conformed to his death. Four experiences that are part of our sanctification. They're all different, but they all supplement one another. They all supplement and work harmoniously together. I could say it like this. I says, I know him. I know him. Because I know him intimately, I know the power of his resurrection. And because I know the power of his resurrection, the same power of his resurrections will see me through the fellowship of his sufferings. And the same power of the resurrection will also serve to conform me to his death. You see how this all just works together? Know him. Know the power of his resurrection, fellowship in his sufferings, be conformed to his death. Every single point that Paul mentioned, every one of them working together. You don't have the power of the resurrection if you don't know Christ. But if you know Christ intimately, you will know the power of his resurrection. If you know the power of his resurrection, you won't be bothered when sufferings come along, because his power will sustain you. It will keep you. And when you're being conformed to his death, that same power will help to conform you. We will be just fine. Just believe and just trust. God is able. He will do it. He who began a good work in us, he will complete it. But we need to be sanctified. This is a process. Don't escape it. Don't try to navigate around it. Go right through it. Live under the cross. Go through the cross, and one day we shall inherit the crown. But for now, live under the cross. The final point is this. What's the bottom line, Andy? It's this. God doesn't care how long you live, whether you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 80, 90. God doesn't care about how long you live. God cares about this one thing. How well do you know his son? How well do you know my son? That's the bottom line here. How well do you know him? Because how well you know Jesus will determine how well you live your life. And if you don't know Jesus, well then, odds are, you're not going to live your life the way God wants you to live it. So here's the thing. Let's go know Christ more and more intimately than ever before. Let's do that. Amen?